sus visiones. Council's meeting is standing for the open prayer. If you thought you would like to stand for prayer, that would be nice. Almighty God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosperous deliberations to the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen. Melbourne City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the indigenous occupants of Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you. Please be seated. Any apologies or leave of absence?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Changes to the order of business?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Deputations?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Declaration of any degree interest, other interest, or conflict of interest of any council? No. Adoption and confirmation of previous meetings?
Mr. Mayor, all right. To make the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 12th of November 2013 be confirmed as a true and correct record.
Excuse me. Do you have a second for that?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Any clarification? Everybody in favour?
Declare it.
7.1, parliamentary and departmental letters received by the Mayor.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, there's one item listed in this item under the agenda, and that was a letter forwarded by the State Member for Western Victoria, Mr. Simon Ramsey, forwarding a copy of a response he had received from the Minister for Public Transport and Minister for Roads in relation to bus routes, particularly around Rockbank and Ainsbury. So.
Does any councillor have any other clarification on this?
Yes, I do.
Councillor John.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was just wondering to know if councillor acted any further up since these letters have been received.
Through Mr. Mayor, if I can answer that question. Council officers have organised, however it hasn't yet occurred, to meet with officers from Public Transport Victoria on site. The purpose of meeting them on site is to seek to reach agreement with them regarding what physical works might need to be done in Rockbank, including particularly Westcott Parade, to get a full understanding of what works might be required, what that might cost, so they can be brought back to council. But secondly, to have a commitment from them that in the event that council undertakes the works, that they will then reroute the bus through the town. It would be obviously a very bad outcome if we did a whole range of works and then they still wouldn't provide a bus. So we need to seek an absolute commitment from them that upon completion of those works, they would reroute the bus. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Sean. Petitions and joint letters.
Yes, I have, Mr. Mayor. I have 64 letters to Melbourne City Council in regards to the demolition of the Diggers Rest Hotel that I would like to table and present to you.
Thank you, Councillor Charlie. I'll come back to the previous item. And we need a mover for the motion that Councillor Dunn.
The Mayor's seeking someone to move the recommendation, I believe, or an alternate motion in respect of item 7, correspondence received. The recommendation is that the parliamentarian and departmental letter received by the Mayor be received and noted.
I'd like to move that, thank you.
Can I have a seconder?
Have a seconder, Mr. Mayor.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? All those opposed? I declare the motion carried. Number 9, resumption of debate or other business carried over from previous meeting.
No, Mr. Mayor.
Public question time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The questions received this evening, the first one is from Alan Fairweather, who is in the gallery. The question is, would it be possible to have a couple of problems rectified at the barbecue area at the Willows Historical Park? One, there is no tap to assist in cleaning barbecues after use. And two, if it has been raining, the control area for the barbecue is underwater. So, with respect to those two matters, we will investigate those and provide a written response once we've had a look at the issues. However, particularly the drainage issue, it is not common for council to provide taps adjacent to barbecues. And whilst I understand that this might assist in responsible members of the community in cleaning off the barbecues, unfortunately, they are often used for alternative purposes. And the taps are left running. As you'll see in most parks, there are very few taps that aren't on a time limit or something else, or they're vandalised extensively. And that's one of the problems that we try to deal with, is there may be some other method that we can employ to provide some sort of restricted water supply or something to assist. But I understand what you're trying to achieve, and we'll have a look at it and get back to you. So thanks for the question. Next question is from Carl Sass. Is Carl in the gallery? Yes, Carl's in the gallery. His question is council planning to increase the amount of Christmas decorations next year? And I guess I'll deal with that first. The amount that council allocates to Christmas decorations is decided each year in accordance with the budget or as part of the budget adoption, and there's an account to which a specified amount of money is allocated, and that dictates what the level of decoration is within that budget parameter. So council will be obviously moving into budget consideration from early February next year. If you have a view to present in terms of whether you think that should be a priority, then there will be opportunities for community members to put forward their suggestions in the budget consideration process. That's the time for it to be raised with councillors. Second element to Mr. Sass's question is, how much did the insurance cost for the bonfire at the Jerriwarra Festival in the last year it was held, and what were the reasons for cancelling it? My understanding is that the bonfire element of the Jerriwarra Festival ceased about 15 years ago. Don't hold me to an exact time frame, but it's something around that time frame. And the reason I'm told, as I was not here at the time, the reason I'm told that it ceased was around public risk and issues around insurance coverage and what council's insurers would and wouldn't cover. The bonfire had apparently, from what I'm told, got bigger and bigger and bigger and become more and more of an issue in terms of security staff to ensure public safety around it, and it just got too big almost to keep providing. And it has now been stopped for some time. And I would very much doubt that council's insurers would sign off on council conducting an event like that without quite stringent controls around it. And it would most probably develop into quite an extensive exercise. even if the the time of year was appropriate to have a bonfire going relative to fire risk, etc., which would be, again, a CFA issue. So I think it's quite a difficult proposition to think that it might be able to be reactivated. But again, Council does have an advisory committee that assists in the planning of the Jerriwarra Festival each year, and it's a well-represented committee with a number of community representatives on it, and suggestions like that can be directed through that committee or via the Council representatives on the committee. I think that's Councillor Sophie Ramsey presently, so might possibly discuss it with her at a point in time. The next question is from David O'Connor, Mr. O'Connor's in the gallery. He asks, in late 2011, Melton Council contracted a heritage consultant to conduct a contents audit on historical items held at the Green Shed at the former Melton Library. As part of the audit process, the Melton District Historical Society Incorporated made the official acquisition ledger available to Council. Members of the MDHS have since made attempts to reclaim the acquisition ledger and obtain a copy of the final audit without success. Given the importance of this document, could Council endeavour to have it returned to the Society? The short answer is, David, I will endeavour to have it returned, and I'll try and find out where it currently resides, and certainly get the detail of the audit and provide that. But I will get back to you about the process. Second question from Mr. O'Connor. He says, I make reference to an article published in the Melton Leader December 10, 2013, entitled Couple Gets Rude Awakening for Parking in Driveway. According to the article, Council Compliance Manager Ian Stewart reminded motorists that parking on nature strips is an offence. At present, many residents in Diggers Rest, including myself, opt to park on the nature strip as a safe alternative to parking curbside, especially when a single white line is in place. Should residents take heed from the content of the article and refrain from parking on nature strips to avoid a fine? I will ask Council's General Manager of Corporate Services, whose area this falls under, to respond, Mr. Bean.
Thanks for the question, David. In regards to responding to your question, you're suggesting that the vehicle that was stated in the newspaper article that attracted the infringement notice was parked parallel to the curb, when in actual fact it was parked perpendicular to the curb. So when you read the content of the article, you need to bear in mind that whilst it was correct that a wheel was protruding over the footpath, so was the rear and the boot area of the vehicle, which totally blocked access on the footpath. This made it potentially dangerous to the public, who would have had to walk around the vehicle near the edge of the roadside. Our responsibility is to ensure that any person with any type of impairment has a safe and unencumbered access throughout our municipality is of paramount importance to our councillors and to our staff, and it was seen that this situation did not provide that level of safety. Council doesn't have any active campaigns in regard to residents parking on their nature strips. However, if it is deemed that any vehicle is creating a public nuisance or is putting the public at risk, then the matter will be pursued by Council today. Thank you.
And that's all the questions for this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Toy. Presentation of staff reports. Item number one.
Mr. Mayor, can I move in block the following items, please? 11.1, 11.2, 11.3, 11.4, 11.7, 11.8, 11.9, okay. 11.12, 11.14, 11.15, 11.17, 11.18, and accept the recommendations as printed.
Thank you, Councillor Lumsey. Do I have a seconder to the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to second that.
Thank you, Councillor Medley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item 11.4.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, could I just point of order? I think Mr. David O'Connor had a clarification because I saw him wavering his hand. Is that correct? Just in regards, I think, to his question, I assume.
We'll suspend him. David, please.
No, Mr. Barak, I mean, you may sleep as you start with your vehicle, under on that.
Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Assuming, of course, it's not causing a public risk or public safety issue.
Okay. Item 11.5, Mr. Bean.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. 11.5 is in regard to Council's consideration of the minutes of the recent policy review panel meeting that was held on the 2nd of December 2013. Council has a policy review panel which considers all Council policies in terms of references that are functioning within the Council's operations. At this particular meeting, the Council, or the panel members, considered a number of issues, one being the actual terms of reference of the policy review panel, Council's asset management policy, a developer's contribution policy, preventing violence against women and their children policy, the hospital advisory group terms of reference, and it considered a scheduled meeting date for this particular panel for the year of 2014. All of those items are attached and have been presented to Council for explanation prior to this meeting. The main reason for this meeting to be considered before Council this evening is in regard to the Hospital Committee Advisory Group. The Hospital Advisory Group requires Council to nominate Council representation to that committee, and also on page 44 within the minutes, which is part of the policy review panel's terms of reference, there is a comment there under the word of note, and that needs to be removed from those, which will be done thereafter upon Council's determination of these minutes. So I presented Council the recommendation set out on page 37, but Council also needs to nominate Council for the Hospital Advisory Group. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any Council need any further clarification? Do we have the Councillor to move the recommendation?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move the recommendation of the motion.
So, Council to second the recommendation.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask, does that recommendation include the nominations of Councillor Carley and Councillor Borg as Council's representatives and anyone else?
Yes, yes.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I wasn't aware that they were being nominated as yet.
Okay.
Through Mr. Mayor, this recommendation will deal with it as it stands, and we would need a separate motion for the nomination of Councillor.
Well, I'll second the nomination.
Second the motion.
Okay. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? No. Declare the motion carried. Now we need to vote on the nominations for the positions. Can someone, Councillor, to move the nominations?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to nominate Councillor Carling, Councillor Borg. Is anyone else interested in being on the hospital committee whilst I'm up? I'll just leave it those two.
Do I have a Councillor to second the motion for the nomination?
I'll second the nomination.
Does any Councillor oppose the motion or nomination? I declare it carried. Do you accept the nomination?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. So kind. Okay. Item 11.6, local government funding vehicle expressions of interest. Mr. Bean again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I present to Council this evening a report that sets out Council's endorsement for applying for an expression of interest to be considered as part of the local government funding vehicle. The proposed local government funding vehicle involves pooling of Council debt requirements via a public bond market to obtain the best outcome for local government long-term debt refinancing requirements. There's a number of key processes that are required to be completed in advance of the establishment of this group. The MOB is seeking Council's expression of interest before proceeding further with the project. The MOB, which is the Municipal Association of Victoria, has been working with the Capital and Debt Advisory Team from Ernst & Young to identify the most appropriate solution for local government in addressing its long-term debt financing requirements. Based on the findings from Ernst & Young, which included thorough market engagement, it's established a number of goals which need to be met, which are set out on page 61, which are around achieving significant savings on council borrowings over the longer term, diversification of debt sourcing, simplified borrowing process, transparency of process and price, and best practice procurement modelling. To determine if there was any interest from the industry participating in this type of proposal, the MAB facilitated a process whereby Victorian councils were encouraged to participate in the schemes and source more competitive loan rates than councils would normally get if they individually went to market. Tenders were called for $400 million on behalf of 42 councils in June of this year, with two major banks being the Commonwealth Bank and the National Australia Bank, of which council wasn't part of this process, and the CBA was the preferred supplier in this instance. Council utilised or exercised its right under these terms and conditions and accessed the $7.5 million that was approved by council in this year's current budget process. The rates were far better than what council could have achieved by itself due to the combined buying power of all Victorian councils. The success of this activity is now developed to the next step with the Victorian Local Funding Vehicle, where Victorian councils can achieve significant savings on borrowings by obtaining funds directly from the wholesale bond market rather than lending through an Australian bank to obtain funds to lend through the wholesale bond market. If sufficient support is obtained, the MAB will commence the credit assessment process for individual councils, conduct the relevant process and agree and finalise the preferred structure and partnership with the establishment of the fund. The process is expected to be completed by March 2014, which is a requirement as to why it needs to be considered by council this evening, with the first issuance of a bond on the 30th of June 2014. I'll just continue with my presentation and my report, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Antonio, please sit down. Mr. Antonio, please sit down or I'll have you removed from the chamber. Mr. Antonio, you are in. You're making no sense. Please leave. Please sit down. Please sit down. I'll ask you once more. If you don't sit down right now, I'm going to ask you to be removed. Andrew, I'll give you one more time. Sit down or leave the chamber. Sit down or leave the chamber. Okay. Excuse me, officer. Can you please remove this gentleman from the chamber? I'm glad you come tonight. Please leave the chamber. Please leave the chamber. Excuse me, officer. Can you please remove this gentleman? Apologies to the chamber. Mr. Bean, please continue.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm merely at the conclusion of the presentation of my report. In regard to the financial considerations for this, there's no financial cost for this council to participate in this funding vehicle. It is proposed that the future financial savings from reduced borrowing costs if councils participated holistically in this proposal would be estimated to be up to $100 million in savings over the sector over the next 10 years based on current borrowing projections. The expression of interest in no way binds council to any consequent tender or contract that thereby means the council can opt out of this process if it deemed that it could gain more competitive rates to a normal banking process or lending institution. It is with that proposal, Mr. Mayor, that I recommend the recommendation set on page 61 of this agenda that sets out the council accept the invitation from the MAB to participate in the proposed local government funding vehicle. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification? You have a councillor to move the motion.
I'd like to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second the motion, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Miller. Does any councillor oppose the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item 11.10. Planning application PA 2013 2021/4098. Mr. Baggio.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report relates to a property which has an area of about 6,000 square metres, which is located on the corner of Gravettia Close and Goulet Road in Hillside. The site is located on the southeastern edge of the Sugardum Estate, which is a large or significant low-density residential area located within the Eastern Corridor, which generally consists of single detached dwellings constructed on lots which normally have an area of over 4,000 square metres in area. The land is also a much more conventional residential development to the south and east. The planning applications before council propose to construct 8 double-storey dwellings in addition to the existing dwelling on the land, to subdivide the land into 9 lots and to vary a restricted covenant on the land which allows no more than 1 dwelling on the land. The application was advertised and 14 objections were received to the application, generally from people or residents within the Sugardum Estate. The grounds of objection could be summarised as concerns about the precedent that was set for similar development within the Sugardum Estate, that the future subdivision into multi-unit development would detrimentally affect the character of the area, concerns about increased traffic congestion and road safety issues, a concern about the proliferation, I guess, of unit development in the Sugardum Estate, and that landowners bought into the area because of the covenant which restricts the number of houses within the estate. In terms of the planning assessment of the application, one of the issues that council needs to consider is in relation to the proposal to vary the restrictive covenant. It needs to be assessed under Section 60, Part 2 of the Planning and Environment Act. And given the specific wording of this section of the Act, council, and in fact BCAT, have previously taken the view that where an objection has been received by a beneficiary of the covenant, as is the case here, then the application should be refused. And as I previously indicated, 14 objections have been received to the proposal, and council has previously refused similar applications for the variation of covenants within this particular estate. Also, from a design perspective, it's considered that the proposal to construct an additional 8 double-storey dwellings on the subject land is generally inconsistent with the character of the area, which has in fact been established through the subdivision layout development covenants and the characteristics exhibited by dwellings that have been constructed on lots within the immediate area. It's therefore recommended, Mr. Mayor, that the applications be refused as per the recommendation report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr.
Councillor Middleton.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Baggio, is this covenant quite unusual in regards to other parts of our municipality?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. It's not unusual. There are quite a few estates within the municipality which do have similar covenants. Some of those covenants have expiry dates, so that when they expire, it is possible to lodge a planning application for medium density development, for example. But there are quite a few of these covenants within the municipality that specifically restrict the number of dwellings to no more than one.
Does any other councillor require any clarification? Do I have a councillor to move the motion?
I'm happy to move the motion, Mr. Mayor, and if seconded, could I just speak just for a couple of minutes on it? Thank you.
Sorry. Do I have a councillor to second the motion?
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Sorry, thank you. Councillor Neary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to say my reasons for not supporting this particular planning application was because of the very fact of the strict covenant in the Sugardum Estate. And the residents have brought this attention to myself in particular, and I'm sure to other councillors, and even in their letters in regards to them opposing it. And I guess the residents were telling me that they bought into this area for a particular lifestyle, and this development is definitely not in character with the area, and it's also an overdevelopment of the area, so that's why I'm not in support of the actual application. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Miller. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Kelly, are you in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item 1113, Vietnam Veterans Association of Australia, Melbourne District Sub-Branch, Relocation of Services.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, point of order, 11.11.
I apologise. 1111, Melton Flying Scheme Amendment, C100, Dry Stone Walls. Mr. Baggio again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Amendment C100 essentially seeks to amend the Council's planning scheme by implementing the recommendations within the Melton Dry Stone Wall study. The study was adopted by Council at its meeting in November 2011. The study surveyed over 300 dry stone walls and structures within the municipality, and all of these have been mapped and the details recorded. It was found that there were 10 types of walls in Melton, and that some of these are unique, in fact, in Australia. However, many were in poor and deteriorated condition, and based on the assessment undertaken, it is proposed to protect 140 of the 300 walls through the inclusion to the schedule for the heritage overlay. It should be noted that at the November 2011 meeting, the report recommended that 144 walls be protected. However, since that time, a number of walls have been demolished, resulting in the number of walls to be protected reducing to 140. At the November 2011 meeting, Council also adopted the recommendation to initiate an appropriate amendment to this planning scheme to implement the recommendations of the study. Since the initial Council resolution to seek authorisation for the amendment, there have been changes in the state planning policy framework, which have made Council officers seeking authorisation to commence the amendment. In addition, a decision has been made to exclude the guidelines for the planning, conservation and repair of dry stone walls in Melton from the amendment. This document will be used as a reference document rather than a document incorporated to the planning scheme. Therefore recommended, Mr. Mayor, that an appropriate amendment be initiated to protect Council's dry stone walls as per the recommendation report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any Council require any further clarification?
I do have a question, Mr. Mayor. If this is to be supported, will the dry stone walls that are proposed to be in the outer metropolitan ring road, are they essentially going to have a better chance of being protected, or are they still going to be demolished by the state government?
For you, Mr. Mayor, essentially the walls that are proposed within the alignment of the outer metropolitan ring road can be in effect demolished by the state government without a planning permit because they're not subject to compliance with local controls. So those walls can be demolished. However, the remaining walls which have been proposed within the study are proposed to be protected as part of this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Fudgel. Is there any other councillors for clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, I have two really quick ones. It's not a blanket approach right across the municipality, and for those ones that are, there's different tiers of dry stone walls, the ones that are pristine and need to be looked after, would it be possible, because I know there's theft of parts of the walls, would it be possible for Council to look at possibly some sort of grant process where we can identify not only the ones that we desperately want to preserve for the future, but also have some sort of grant process so we can look after them and keep them, not just put the onus totally on the landowner.
Freedom of the Mayor, in terms of the first question in relation to the blanket control, it's not a blanket control that's been proposed. As I mentioned before, the 300 dry stone walls and structures that are surveyed, 140 are proposed to be protected as part of this amendment. In terms of potential grants for repairs for walls, that certainly there can be something that's looked at by council, potentially through its Heritage Advisory Committee process.
Does any other councillor request further clarification? Do you have a councillor to move the motion?
I'd like to move the motion, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a councillor to second the motion?
I'd like to second that, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item 13, PNL Veterans Association of Stroke, Melton District Sub-Branch, Relocation of Service. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council, I bring this report to you this evening after a number of conversations that occurred with the Vietnam Vets Melton Branch and also the officers along the journey. I suppose just to bring back some history, the Council previously received a report from the Chief Executive back in the 13th of December 2012, seeking authority to negotiate and finalise the relocation of the Vietnam Vets at what was then to a site to be provided at Blackwood Drive. The proposal involved the association undertaking a fair amount of building works with some assistance to the proposed recreational site in Melton South. The proposed relocation required due to an expansion of Council's Mackenzie Street service delivery, which is our community care and inclusion, and the Vietnam Vets are on that current site at the moment, along with the combined churches caring. Again, on the 12th of August, after a number of discussions, myself received a written notice from the association advising they unfortunately could not proceed with this initiative due to unforeseen financial circumstances, and I refer to that letter as Appendix 2 for the councillors, Mr. Mayor. We then engaged again with the Vietnam Vets on a number of occasions to see if we could assist in any way as far as providing a venue for them to provide their services from, knowing that we will be relocating them from an existing council facility that council has owned for quite some time, being an old house in the corner of Mackenzie Street. After pursuing a number of sites, the Vets, as I said, have given us that written correspondence, and it's proposed councillors that looking at the Willows Park and taking into account the existing men's shed activity that's been there for quite some time, it is very popular, that there is a cottage known as Max Cottage that is situated on that site. We are proposing to relocate, if endorsed this evening, and offer this site inclusive of the cottage to the Vietnam Vets to relocate. This would see them relocate from the existing site, which would allow us to continue to provide our existing service delivery from the aged site in Mackenzie Street. It would also see them relocated to the site that Willows Park homestead is on, just across the south of High Street. So really, councillors, I'm putting forward to you three recommendations tonight for consideration. And I will read those because they're important recommendations. The subject of the granting of all relevant permits, Council approve the granting of a licence for the Vietnam Veterans Association Melton District sub-branch to be accommodated at Max Cottage for a purpose of establishment of a meeting place, office, facility. And the appendix is highlighted in Appendix 1, Council. If you do want to just have a look at that site and for the gallery's awareness. We are recommending that the term of that licence be for a 10-year term, and that also Council authorise the Chief Executive to complete all necessary statutory processes, inclusive of permits required to occupy the facility and to accommodate the licence agreement for its intended use. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks, Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any Council require further clarification? Do you have a Councillor to move the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the motion. Could I speak if I get a second to it, please?
Can the Councillor to second the motion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll be happy to second that.
Thank you, Councillor Miller.
Actually, Mr. Mayor, in my haste, I forgot to mention a couple of key words, and I'm going to please put the mercy of Campbell to please forgive me, but I was actually wondering under item 2, Mr. Heaney, whether the term of the licence be 10 years and a possible further extension of 5 years, just to give them...
That's at Council's discretion, Councillor Rennie.
But I'd like to move that.
I'm happy to second the amended motion, Mr. Mayor.
No.
So that's an option of an extra 5 years?
Yes.
Councillor Ramsey?
Yes.
Okay. You're moving this and Councillor Millett seconding it?
Yes.
Does any Councillor oppose the motion? I declare the second motion carried and we'll go back to the original.
No, that's it. That's
it. Okay. With that included.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can I just say on behalf of all of the council and the executive, this is a fantastic outcome and we really appreciate from the bottom of our hearts everybody that has fought for the freedoms we have today. And this is a great good news story, a great news story. I hope the Vietnam vets, their families, have a wonderful Christmas. Put that at ease.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Mayor, I just wanted to congratulate the Vietnam vets, and obviously we do want you to stay at Max Cottage for a very long time. I'm sure they'll be very happy. We're pleased with the outcome, and we know that the Vietnam vets are as well. And we just appreciate, as Councillor Ramsey said, appreciate what they've done, and it's a fantastic outcome. So, great outcome for the council and the Vietnam vets.
Thank you, Councillor Miller. We move on to item 11.16, review of parks and reserves in the City of Melton. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, I bring this to you this evening as a result of a notice of motion that was passed some time ago by Councillor Mosley. And that was, and I'll read it, the council officers undertake a review of all parks and reserves in the whole of Melton City Municipality and develop a priority order for council's consideration in association with the 13-14 budget for rejuvenation and development of parks, 15 years or greater identified in that review. That review has completed, councillors, and has been a major piece of work as referred to on the appendix document on the report. I will point out just a couple of, I won't go through the whole report, but I'll point out a couple of factors in the report. Look at the end result, a total of 31 parks and reserves in the City of Melton are what deemed to be undeveloped, and that's after a high level review right across the whole municipality. There are 30 parks and reserves in the City of Melton that are more than 30 years old, and therefore probably need some financial injection to them in whatever shape or form. There is, in amongst those parks, different categories, and they run from linear parks to pocket parks to major reserves to active open space to walking trails, etc. All that is itemised in the council review of the parks and reserves as per the appendices. There is in that, and I'll work you through it, on Section 6.4, and for the sake of the gallery and the councils, it's on page 48 of the report, a five-year capital works proposal, if you like, for council to consider. It's not saying council endorses by any shape or form. It's saying that council endorses that they see fit to be placed in the capital works program. There's a mix of parks right across the municipality in that table, and suggesting a five-year program to deal with that. And a high-level overview, if you like, that equates to around about $1.95 million over 5 years if council deemed to inject that much money each financial year. And it's approximately anywhere from $350 to $400 per year to develop those parks. It's fair to say that those parks need to have some redevelopment and some parks a lot more redevelopment. It's also fair to say that that redevelopment wouldn't occur until there was a consultation process with the community that lives around the perimeter of that reserve park or trail. So what we're saying this evening after that review, Council, is to endorse the report, titled Melton City Council Review of Parks and Reserves, as requested by the Council some time ago, and resolved to place in the Capital Works Program an upgrade rejuvenation and development of the parks and reserves, and that is listed in item 6.4, which is on page 48. But we continue to further investigate opportunities in respect to those parks and reserves that have been identified in the report as potentially undeveloped. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, councillors.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any councillor require any further clarification?
Mr. Mayor, in regards to this report, does that mean that it's definitely going to be in the budget, or is that still a consideration as per usual on any other budget item that council has to consider?
Through Mr. Mayor, it'll be placed in the 5-year capital works program, and from memory, without going back to the document, there's around about 8 parks per year. So year one will have 8 parks across the municipality, but each park will be listed and a value. So council can deem fit at any such time to pick out 3 of those, or finance the lot, or part, or thereof. And they'll be considered each year along with the budget process.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any other councillors require further clarification? Do I move this motion?
I'd like to move this, Mr. Mayor, and also speak on the motion if it's seconded.
Thank you, Councillor Nisbet. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Councillor Mayor, you would like to talk.
Just wanted to mention an absolute fantastic outcome in regards to the lots of important findings that we actually found out as a council, and I'm sure council officers did through this report, Mr. Mayor, of the parks and reserves in the whole of the municipality that either need upgrade or are dilapidated. Great piece of work on the officer's behalf. I know it was a huge amount of work that needed to be done and still needs to be done, and I just commend the officers in regards to that.
Thank you, Councillor Miller. Item 1119, Exford Primary School Car Park Contribution Request. Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report is presented to Council following a request received from the President of the Exford Primary School for Council to fund to the tune of $22,000 the construction of a car park adjacent to the school. In particular, the school has sought Council to contribute that amount of money to enable them to build the car park, which would be gravel. The school have also committed to spending around about $5,000 in fencing the said car park. Just by way of background, councillors, you'll be aware that the Exford Primary School is located on the Exford Road in a relatively remote rural area, albeit on the way to Ainsbury. There's no footpaths or the like allowing children to access the site, therefore all children are driven to the school. The school is a relatively small site of about 1.2 hectares, so it's a fairly constrained site. The student population has grown exponentially over the last 3 or 4 years. The student population in 2010, or student numbers, was in the order of 110. This year, it's in the order of 256. And by the end of next year, student numbers will be up to around about 330. So you can see the school numbers have grown by around about 300% over the last 3 to 4 years. The reason for that is obviously the population growth in the city has continued to be very strong. Regrettably, however, the construction of new public schools has not met pace with that. There are a number of new schools planned within the southern sector of the Melton Township, including Ainsbury, Waterford and Atherston, but at this stage there's no state government commitment to actually fund and construct those schools, so it's likely that the student pressures will continue on the Exford Primary School. One of the real issues of concern, Mr. Mayor, with the Exford Primary School relates to traffic management at the school. Council officers have been working with the principal there over the last 2 years particularly, and there have been a number of improvements made to the car park, which is in the road reserve. It's been widened and extended, but due to the existing trees within the road reserve, it can be extended no further. The school has since entered into a licence agreement with the adjoining farmer to enable him to use his land to extend the car park onto the farm site adjacent to the school. However, unfortunately, the State Department of Education, whilst they initially agreed to fund the construction of the car park, they've since reviewed that position, and accordingly the school have requested council contribute $22,000 to that work. Council will be aware that parking is a significant issue at pretty much every school in the city. Perhaps what sets the Exford Primary School apart from most of those other schools is its remote rural nature. Other schools such as Parkwood Green are located within an established urban area, and whilst parking is extremely difficult due to the numbers of those schools like that, there is the capacity for students to walk and cycle to school, even from a few hundred metres away from the school site. So for that reason, Mr. Mayor, it's recommended on balance that council agree to contribute $22,000 to the school. If they do achieve that funding, they would intend to construct a car park over this Christmas holiday period to enable it to be in place for term one next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Is any councillor required for the clarification?
Yes, Mr.
Councillor Medley.
Does Exford Primary School have a crossing supervisor, and why or why not?
Through Mr. Mayor, no, it doesn't. The car park at the school is located on the immediately adjacent to the school building. There's no car park on the opposite side of the road. Logistically, that would be very hard to construct, and it's probably not particularly desirable to have a school crossing on a what is a fairly heavily utilised, typically by heavy traffic, road, being Exford Road. So I wouldn't promote council look at constructing a car park and having a crossing supervisor to man that.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Does any other councillors require further clarification?
How much does a crossing supervisor cost the council per annum?
Through Mr. Mayor, it's in the order of $12,500 per annum for a supervisor.
Sorry, Mr. Shannon. I've got a couple of more questions. What is the current speed on this particular road?
Through Mr. Mayor, there's a speed restriction during school hours of 60 kilometres per hour. Council and the school have discussed the potential of reducing that with Vicroads because Vicroads control the speed limit. However, under the Vicroads guidelines, they won't reduce it below 60. So the speed limits are relatively low during school hours, but given the congestion at the car park with parents coming and going at peak times, there are potential safety issues.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, every other school in this municipality has a road speed around their school at 40 kilometres per hour. This particular school, because of Vic Road and out of council's hands and out of the school's hands, is 60. Is that right?
True, Mr. Mayor. That's correct. Schools in urban areas have a speed limit of 40 kilometres per hour, and often that's 24 hours per day. Given the rural nature of the road that the extra school sits on, the lowest speed limit that Vic Roads will put 60 kilometres per hour.
Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, and because of the nature of this road, is there double B trucks using it and semi-trailers and so forth, perhaps not the same as other local roads around other schools?
Through Mr. Mayor, there is a lot of construction traffic and through traffic, including B-doubles that use this road. Many of those use what's known as Hall Road to access Ainsbury, so they actually are required to go past the school and not go down Ainsbury Road, they need to go down the secondary road. But there's also a lot of traffic that heads from Melbourne, the Melbourne direction, towards Bacchus Marsh and Geelong, and much of that is heavy traffic.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon.
Finally, Mr. Mayor.
Finally.
Thank you for your indulgence. What makes this school any different to any other school? Is there any other school that's got similar constraints in regards to the location, no supervisor crossing, 60 kilometres, double B trucks travelling on that road, kids crossing the road, because, you know, as kids do, they sometimes slip out of the parents' hands. Is there any other school of this nature within our municipality?
Probably the other rural school, albeit with different characteristics, is Tool and Vale. That's not located on a main road, and it's got much lower speed, traffic speed adjacent to it. In terms of a school that's perhaps exceeded its capacity, Parkwood Green is an obvious one, so there are traffic issues there, but they have none of the issues in terms of heavy traffic The speed limit is 40 kilometres per hour, and as I mentioned earlier, there is significant capacity for students to walk and cycle to school, however inconvenient that may be, that actually does exist through the footpath network.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks for your clarifications, Mr. Shannon. Thank you, Councillor Miller. Did any other councillor require clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This came to us predominantly because maybe was the overflow of cars going onto the other side of the road. Is that predominantly why this came before us?
Through Mr. Mayor, the reality is that particularly at pick-up time, there is far more cars seeking a location to park than there is capacity to park. So what happens, and I've been out there at peak times to witness this with the principal Lisa Campo a number of times, is that parents park not only within the car park, but that when that reaches capacity, they'll park on the verge of the road, generally on the school side, but potentially on the other side as well when there's no more capacity on the school side. And my observations are that the parents have been very cautious in doing that, so they're responsible, but the reality is they're in the midst of through traffic. Much of that is heavy traffic. You've got lots of kids because it's a primary school, and they don't necessarily know about the implications of fast-moving traffic. So I think my understanding that is the core of the reason why the school has approached council.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Councillor Ramsey, you
finished?
I am. Is there any other... Oh,
here I am. I've just got one question here. Has the school explored other avenues such as the school bus run to collect the students from areas that they're coming from, such as Melton South and Melton West, since there's about 103 students that come from that area?
Thank you, Councillor Kiliani.
Through Mr. Mayor, I understand the principal has explored that, and for whatever reason it hasn't been a viable situation. I note also that it is true that clearly there's not that many people who live in Hexford that fuel the school, so a lot of the students are coming from far away. There's a strong representation from Ainsbury to the south, but also Melton South, as you point out. But the principal has indicated that that's not a situation that would be viable in terms of busing the students to the school. I'm confident she's explored every option, because this hasn't been an issue that's just arisen in the last month or two. It's been growing over the last couple of years.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. Is there any other councillor have
any clarification? Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think we all understand that this is a state government issue, and a lot of schools in our municipality have issues in regards to safety. And I just want to ask the ward councillors themselves, as ward councillors, have they contacted or lobbied the state government MPs for funds for this school?
Personally, so no ward councillor has personally. I'm not the ward councillor. I'm not the ward councillor. Who's the ward councillor? So it would be councillor Don Hanley. Councillor Don. I'd like to respond to that. Thank you. I've actually personally spoke to Don Nardella about the situation, but I haven't actually written any letters to any parliamentarians.
Response,
I believe there were some emails and letters on behalf of council, not just ward councillors, whilst I was the mayor, in regards to why the funding was promised in the first place and then how council was very disappointed that they had withdrawn the funds. And I believe that there was also emails and correspondence to the one of the members of the parliament.
Thank you, Councillor Miller.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to, in respect of Councillor Majic's comments, that correspondence followed a meeting with the Exford Residents Association, and subsequent to that, there was a further meeting with Mr. Nardella, where we went through what representations had been made both by the school council, by the Residents Association, and by the local member, with the department and with the minister, and in that respect, council at that time, through the mayor, provided a letter of support to go with the most recent representation by the local member.
Thank infamous story. Does any other councillor require any more clarification? Councillor Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just, I'm not saying that I'm going to oppose this, because I'm all for children's safety. And I did once say that I'm not a councillor that would put a dollar amount on any of our residents' safety. I wouldn't do that. But I just feel that it's a bit irresponsible, and I guess as a ward councillor's council, have we done enough in really lobbying the state government? It is their issue. And I just think that it's irresponsible of us to, you know, dip into the community's money, because at the end of the day, that is exactly what we're doing. We're spending $22,000 of the community's money on a school when there's many more schools that need help.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor, is that a question or is that a statement?
It's a statement.
It's a statement. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for allowing it.
No problem. Well, it seems to be a really great issue for due diligence for council finances for $22,000. I'd rather see us spend $22,000 and save a possible accident than not spend it in the middle of next year. We have some accidents happening there that we have to bow our heads for. So I will support the motion anyway. When it comes. Does any other councillor require any further clarification? Well, that was really interesting. Do you have a councillor to move a motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd be happy to move this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Miller. Do you have a councillor to second the motion?
I'd like to second that, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour, please raise your hand. All those opposed, please raise your hand. Okay, we're getting it. Are any councillors abstaining? Please raise your hands. Okay. I'd like to call
Mr. Mayor, can I call a division, please?
Carry on. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Millick, Councillor Pugliari, Councillor Dunn, Councillor Ramsbury, Councillor Turner. Those opposed to the motion, raise your hands. Those abstaining against the motion, or abstaining from the motion, raise your hands. Councillor Carling? Mr. Ball, you're neither abstaining.
Mr. Mayor, I'm finding this one really difficult.
That's right.
And I find it's a really torn issue for me.
No problem. Thank you.
Unfortunately, Mr. Mayor, point of order, Councillor Borg is going to have to vote either way, so...
You can abstain. Very good. I declare the division carried, and that we'll move on to the next item. Report from delegates appointed by council to other bodies. Councillor Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended the MAV Western Metropolitan Delegates meeting at Hobsons Bay to discuss the membership of the MAV committee and to seek, the MAV board committee and to seek feedback from the delegates as to whether they were happy with the current representation of councils on the MAV board. A report will be commissioned in the new year to discuss the findings and to make any further recommendations. At the Leisure Advisory Committee, we met and discussed the Melton South Recreation Reserve Master Plan and also the West Melton Recreation Reserve Draft Master Plan, and we revised the Bridge Road Master Plan, which some of them have been tabled in tonight's council agenda. For future meetings next year, Mr. Mayor, we'll be discussing the ever-exciting aquatic strategy, which I'm looking forward to, and we'll be receiving an update on the Arnold Creek Reserve. The policy review panel meeting, we met, and where the most important changes were made to the Hospital Advisory Committee, as noted in tonight's council agenda, and this was to ensure consistency amongst all our committees and to allow for some flexibility in regards to council representation. The audit committee also met, and the minutes of the meeting have been tabled and endorsed tonight's council meeting, and as well as minutes to be endorsed in camera. And most importantly, the audit committee minutes to be endorsed in camera tonight for councillors and members of the gallery to know that we will be considering a report to appoint the independent audit committee member for a term of 3 years for the in-camera report of the advisory committee. The Disability Action Plan for 2013-2017 was officially launched this week in December, the start of December, coinciding with National Disability Week. This was an absolutely terrific event that highlighted the wonderful work that has been undertaken by our staff, our community, the Disability Advisory Committee, councillors and all who were involved in consulting for this very important document. It is a 4-year plan of what this council will be working towards to ensure that our residents who are affected by a disability and their carers are able to live, work and socialise in the same way as everyone else. The launch included special guest speaker and Melton resident Gus, who had been affected by a disability as an adult, and how he has had to cope with the many changes and challenges he has had to make in his life. Gus also sits on the Disability Advisory Committee as a community member and contributes very positively to the Advisory Committee. We also had great entertainment from, now I'm going to ask Councillor Ramsey to remind me, Mandarin Choir, and also a fantastic entertainment rendition from a young gentleman from the Melton Special School, Brendan, who had everyone on their feet in regards to his rendition of Meatloaf and the song Hey Jude by Beatles, I think. It was absolutely fantastic, and the event highlighted that people who live and or who have a disability want the same opportunities as everyone else within our community. Well done to Coral and her team for what is always a great effort on her and her staff's behalf. I also attended the MAV Professional Development Group, and the discussion was around the evaluation of the mayoral program and the positive feedback they received by the mayors and some deputy mayors who attended this program earlier this month. We also discussed the Diploma of Local Government through BRACE training and the positive feedback we've been receiving from this program, as well as the third round of MAV and Swinburne University Graduate Diploma of Management course. There was also discussion about upcoming training available to councillors through the MAV program, including topics on media training, meeting conduct and chairing, communication skills, public speaking, planning and finance, and how this might be done through webinar or even Skype for councillors who are wanting to undertake the training but are restricted in attending a location to undertake the training during business hours, as a lot of the councillors actually work. This is an exciting opportunity that will allow for more councillors to extend their skills as being better equipped as councillors. We also spoke about the annual $12,000 fellowship through the MAV that is available to any successful councillor wishing to undertake a particular study on the topic of interest in local government overseas. And discussion was also around the annual MAV Councillor Professional Development Weekend, which is scheduled in the last week of July next year, and also the next round of company director courses, which will be offered twice next year. I encourage every councillor here to get involved in any of the courses and events that are available through the MAV. They offer a great variety of options for councillors to develop their training and to further develop their skills that can improve self-development for them as representatives of their communities. I'm a great believer and advocate, Mr. Mayor, for councillors to be undertaking further and continuous training in their role as councillors. As councillors, we are elected because we are popular, not necessarily because we are skilled for the job, and this comment was by no means to offend any of our councillors, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Midlick. Councillor Cooley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had a very quiet month. I had an application to assess for grants, and there was also a Raven Hall Advisory Committee, and I was an apology for that due to a Latham study meeting that I had to chair at Biggers Rest.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mine are going to be a bit briefer than Councillor Mavis, apparently. I don't sort of go into much detail, but if anyone needs any more information, I can certainly supply as much as I can. The 20th of November, I stood in for the Mayor at the MMEM committee, in which we discussed the follow-up from the Verimed exercise, which was a great exercise that was discussed at the previous council meeting. Attended the policy review panel, which the notes are attached. The Ravenhall Prison Project CAG, which things are coming quite nicely, and we had someone from the PTV give us a briefing on transport that's going to be applied to it. 30th of December, I attended the Heritage Committee, and I also attended the Suburbs Naming Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Carr.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, on the 28th of November, I attended the Early Years Learning Committee. It was the last one of the year. We were given an overview on what the committee has done and achieved in 2013. I'll just name a few because there were so many. We had Tim Harrison from the University of Ballarat report on the kindergarten participation research project. We also had the 2014-2017 Municipal Early Years Plan and the development. The South Sudanese Project, Judy Gray from VicSeg, updated us on the programs that are being held in Melton. In terms of reference, from Maternal Child Health and Kindergarten Working Groups, we discussed and endorsed. BESTA annual report presentations, engaging children in decision-making presentations. And we had Rachel Podbury from the Murdoch Children's Research Institute update us on the Blue Sky project that was at our last meeting. And we also had, an achievement translating and distributing maternal child and health information in 5 different languages. There's still a lot of work to be done in 2014. It's a great committee to be part of. I think Councillor Ramsey would agree with me. I was also really happy to see one of my ideas and issues of planning for a 2014 Kindergarten Open Day, which is currently being discussed. So that was great to see. On the 2nd of December, I attended the Policy Review Panel, which the minutes were attached to tonight's agenda. 2nd of December as well, in the evening, a local area traffic management study in Diggers Rest with Councillor Cugliari. The 4th of December, Suburb Naming Advisory Committee, we discussed a short list of names and the process of moving forward and the community consultation process which is going to take place next. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended 11 committees in the last couple of weeks. The Lead West AGM was one of them, followed by Lead West Board meeting, where the priorities about the state government election next year have gone into full swing, and they've requested and been supplied the number one school or education facility, the number one railway crossing. There were 3 key criteria, and basically in a growth corridor such as ours where we need about 10 primary schools, a couple of secondary schools, a whole heap of railway stations, and I think between the list of 6 councils, they're going to put up a priority list of 2 or 3, so ours are in though, I've been told. The Road Safe Westgate, now it's tragic that Melton actually leads the charge in the western suburbs for deaths over the calendar year 2013. Every time I get up here and I say, please consider driving a little bit slower. Over the last couple of months, we've had some real tragedies, and it's a sad matter of fact that we are now, we've even bypassed Wyndham, whose deaths were horrific last year. Every death is a sad one. We're up to about 5 or 6 now, and with the Christmas period coming up ahead of us, I want everybody's, the reporters aren't here, but I want everybody in the gallery to stay safe. And it's not just a matter of knocking off 5 and staying alive. It's being aware of what you intake, how tired you are, and getting on those roads and driving as safely as you possibly can, for not only yourselves and your loved ones, but the community as a whole. The Early Years Partnership was held, Mr. Mayor, And as Councillor Cowley reflected on it, it was absolutely sensational. We did win an award, and I will present the award to you for engaging children in decision-making and a guide for consulting children. Lee Cruikshank and the department who contributed on Melton's behalf really need to be thanked and acknowledged, and if I get the General Manager, Mr Heaney, to do that, it's sensational that we are, as a region, leading the way. But before I finish on that one, one of the valued members of the Early Years Partnership, Ms Gail Crane, the Vice Principal, Acting Principal at Coburn Primary School, has retired, and she's an absolute... I'm lucky as a parent from that school. She was an absolute inspiration in both teaching but also mentoring right through their education, and she was great with the parents as well, because about 15 years ago she asked me to do some public speaking for the new kinder group, and look what she started. So I wish her all the very best in her retirement. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, don't quote me. Before I pass that over to you, Mr Mayor, the Western Melbourne Tourism Group met, and we're looking at briefing each and every council over the next 6 months of achievements and what they would like to see the group do for their own municipalities. And I think I also did the suburb naming committee, and honestly, guys, when you see the shortlist, if you can come up with some names that aren't used anywhere, please put them in. And easily to pronounce, easily to write, and something that relates to Melton. We're actually hamstrung for some ideas. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Lindsay. What is this? Okay. Thank you. Yes, it's a busy time of year, and many of the committees I'm on, everybody's been on, and they've talked about it already. I'll just say something about the suburb naming committee. They've basically come to the end of the deliberations for their committee's names. We've got a short list, but we'll be going out for community consultation. There'll be a lot of community consultation next year, and there's a lot of interest in it from the developers, to what areas what their developing areas are going to be called. Next year we'll have an online website, just starting after Christmas, I believe, that we press release as media campaigns to get the community involved. I think there's even going to be a competition through the schools to try and just bring it up to the fore, let everybody know what's happening with that. So that should be, it's probably going to take another 12 months, or I think, going by the length of time it takes to process these things. But I think it will be a well-run process by the end of next year. I'll just talk on another one of my own. Says, attended the 8th Annual Local Government Ministerial and Mayor's Forum in the city on Wednesday, the 20th of November. It was an opportunity for myself to work with a large number of mayors of other municipalities and discuss with other CEOs and state government staff. And I had the opportunity to also hear from six ministers of state government on a number of initiatives which range from multicultural issues to major projects, ports upgrades, and issues around manufacturing. I also had the opportunity in the evening over Ministerial and Mayor's Forum dinner to hear from Premier Dennis Nathan on his overview of what's happening in the state and at the moment and in the future. And the comments from him were that they would continue to invest not just in the Metro Melbourne but also Victoria and rural on issues such as health, early infrastructure and major projects. It was an opportunity to be around the plus 250 other delegates at this forum, and I found it most beneficial. Thank you. Item number 13. Pardon? I didn't think that Chris Ball had a report. Chris Ball, do you have a report? Do you want to speak about Ms. Crane? finish it from yours. Okay, not a problem, mate. Not a problem. Please keep your comments to yourself in the diary. Thank you. Item number 13, Federal Representation and Acknowledgement. 13.1, Record of Assembly of Councillors in accordance with Section 80A1 of the Local Government Act 1989. And the recommendation of the Record of Assemblies of Councillors attached to this agenda dated 19th of November, 26th of November, 3rd of December and 10th of December 2013 be received and noted. Councillor Ramsey. Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder?
I'll second that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tarley. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Carried. Item 13.2. Public address by each Councillor. Councillor Borg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just have two items. The first being that tomorrow, on your behalf and on Council's behalf, I'll be presenting an achievement award to Mrs. Gail Crane for over 30 years' service to the Melton community. And also, I've been asked to pass on the school's thanks to you, Mr. Mayor, for your attendance last night at their graduation and wishing the Grade 6 graduates all the best, and they certainly enjoyed your words of wisdom and they greatly appreciated you being there last night. It certainly added to the experience for them.
Thank you, it's my pleasure. Councillor Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to talk about a few things that I've actually attended that weren't committees. Firstly, I want to say on the 27th of November, I attended the Star Staff Awards. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant to see all the staff that have been here for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 25 years and 35 years, one of them being our own Mr. Murray Heaney, 25 years, and also to see that one of the staff members had actually been here for 35 years, and I just thought, wow, it really goes to show that the City of Melton is really a great place to be working and to be living. On the 5th of December, I was lucky enough to be invited to a meeting with Mr. James Molino, who's a Member of Parliament, Shadow Minister for Education over in Hillside. And it was great to see so many residents actually come and speak to him about the issues that they're facing, particularly with secondary schools. There's not enough in the Eastern Corridor, and also special needs schools. And it was really sad to hear residents that have kids with disabilities that have to travel so far away. And they're like, well, you know, we live here, we should have access to these schools. And I totally agree with them, and I really did feel for them. I also, on the same day, attended the launch of the Disability Action Plan. It was a great turnout, very entertaining. I know Councillor Mayley touched on that before. Well done to all the council staff that were involved. I also attended on November the 29th at Taylor's Hill Community Safety Christmas Party, and again it was great to see members of our community come out and speak about issues that they're concerned with, such as drugs and syringes being found in parks and the safety of their own children, and it's great to see that that community is growing, and there's a petition actually going around that they're all supporting in regards to the police station in Caroline Springs to be open 24 hours, 7 days a week. And also, I just wanted to say a quick message from residents from Diggers Rest. They contacted me to say thank you to the council for connecting the footpath from the station to the bowling club. So I'd like to say thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kelly. Councillor Ramsey.
Okay. This couple of weeks has been really busy, and I'm not going to labour on them. I'm just going to read them like an election list here, because I've been partying for Christmas with the combined pensioners, the Melton Fire Station, the Riding for the Disabled, and the Chinese School. a board that attended the Christmas carols, which were added as well. And so for all the staff that were part of that, a big thank you. I've only got overwhelming feedback, and I want to pass that on to the events committee. So if I could do that, that would be great. I attended the staff Star Awards as well, and I think there should be some for councillors. The Economic Development and Tourism launch, the Disability Action Plan. There was so much moving and grooving in the city of Melton, I didn't know where to look. Everybody was in such a festive mood. The turning of the Western Base sod at the White Ribbon Day, very sad message, a very huge statement was made on that day. Our staff really came to the fore. The opening of the Melton Pistol Club, well, that was sensational. I'm going to take up an offer from one of the Mark's ladies down there and go down and practice my shooting, so watch out, guys. Okay. I'm going to start off with some sad news and then I'll go on to some happy news. Look, there's some sad news, the passing of John and Margaret Pace, terrible road tragedy that should never have happened. And they've been huge for the community of Melton over a number of years, and I just wanted to acknowledge their efforts for this community, and also the sad passing of Keith Anderson, who was part of the Disability Advisory Committee and had been a very staunch advocate for anything disabled within the Melton community. He's moved away in the last couple of years, but it was sad to hear of his passing. On a good note, along with all the festivities that have been happening, my two girls graduated from their respective courses in the last 2 weeks, and the nervous wait is over for the Year 12 within our municipality. The ATAR scores are out, and is it Carpe Diem? Seize the day, the world awaits. So good luck with everybody in the ATAR scores. And can I take this opportunity to wish the gallery a very Merry Christmas and a safe and happy New Year, and keep the word safe.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. That was most entertaining. Councillor Dunn.
That's going to be a bit bad now, isn't it? It's been a very busy month this month for me, apart from all the many Christmas parties and breakups, and I think I'm overeating. Not really. This month's seen the turning over of the first lot of the soil for the beginning of the Melton Base, which I think is very exciting for our municipality. Attended the White Ribbon Day breakfast and the launch of quite a few strategies and plans, which includes the Family Violence Prevention Strategy and Action Plan, which was launched the same day as the White Ribbon Day. The Melton Disability Action Plan, which, yes, we were very entertained. It was a very great morning. The Economic Development and Tourism Plan. We had the launching of the RAP website, which I think is a really fantastic website that Council's initiative for people that have actually been made redundant or have lost their jobs and trying to keep employment within the municipality. So if anyone's sort of not happy with their job or lost their job or know anyone that's in that circumstances, I fully advise them to get onto the RAP website and have a look at that. On the 16th of November, Councillor Ramsey and the Mayor and myself were entertained by Vasily the Gardener. That's a Derriwarra health family there. It was National Recycling Week. And I must admit, the garden he has created, I don't know what he put in the soil after we left, but it's well and truly above what any normal garden should be. And he even got his accordion out, and unfortunately the Mayor had a bit of a dance with everyone else. I also attended the Spring Hills Football Clinic and Autographing Day with Perth Glory, which is a soccer team, but they call themselves football. It was a great inspiration to see this A-League team, even though they did lose the
been matched the night before to come out with the kids, and it wasn't just for the lower players, it was the coaches, and they're very good top players that got out with the kids and adults as well, and sort of inspired them, gave them a few hints on what to do, and it's the second year they've actually come out and worked with the club. So it's great to see a grassroots club that we've actually had start up in our municipality. They've really taken this on board, and great to see some of the young kids coming up through. And they really are pushing, which I think most of the councils here would be happy to hear, the girls' teams. Because apparently in soccer or football, there's a lot of opportunities for females in this sport. Also attended the opening of the Melton Pistol Club, which, yes, I'll go down and have a shot with you as well. The Christmas Carols, I must admit, I'm not a Christmas Carol person, but I really, really enjoyed that evening, and I can't wait for next year because I know it'll be bigger and better. It's just fantastic to see when Santa sort of got lost, that the kids went running after him, and to see Santa come in with all these kids running after him, that's really what Christmas is all about. So once again, I'd like to also express my happy Christmas to everyone and New Year for the gallery.
Thank you, Councillor Duncan. Can I have a point of clarification, please?
Oh, no.
Was that a shot with Councillor Ramsey at Pisco or a shot at Santa? Councillor Cugliari.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple of highlights, especially around Digger's Rest. The new post office is actually opened, and it looks magnificent. Like Councillor Carley did state, the new footpath across the road, we've got the new train station, and the area is starting to look great. Just another highlight that's recently just happened that I attended was the carols at the Hanawatt Park, and I must admit it was an extremely fantastic evening. The weather was great, and the young and the old, they thoroughly enjoyed the night. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Cugliari. Councillor Medley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I attended a bully free event on behalf of Melton City Council. And unfortunately, as we all know, bullying is prevalent in today's society, and unfortunately, Melton is not excluded. One of the founders of this actual non-profit organisation, which is Bully Free Australia, a fellow councillor, in fact, in Moreland City Council, has a 24-hour hotline service that he answers calls for people who are being bullied at school and at work, sometimes even at home. And many, Mr. Mayor, I've spoken to him sadly and unfortunately, are residents, mostly students who actually come from, reside in Melton. From the non-for-profit organisation being opened early, middle of this year, it was opened by former Prime Minister Julia Gillard, and from being incepted and opened in middle of this year to over 1,500 people attending the event that I went to, in a matter of 6 months to support this organisation, which offers hope to those who are being bullied, was fantastic outcome in regards to a local non-for-profit organisation. It is an extremely important issue that needs to be at the forefront of everyone's mind, particularly governments and leaders. As one speaker who is part of the committee, and the reason why the committee was actually, the non-for-profit organisation was actually formed, he had lost his son to suicide because of bullying. And so much, you see it often, even in the news, most currently in America, young people taking their lives because of bullying. He has called it a silent cancer that can't always be seen by parents and adults, but it is unfortunately on the increase. And the leaders of this nation need to take stock of what their role is within society in regards to this cancer that is growing within our society. It was very touching, Mr. Mayor. Very, very, very sad. And on behalf of Melton City Council, one of the founders, the councillor from Moreland, expressed his gratitude that council was part of that to support the not-for-profit organisation. May I also speak about a briefing that council has received on the council's 5-year capital works program. It's good to know that all is going well and on track, except for the construction of the Westwood Drive bridge, which has most unfortunately, as we read in our council media release, had to be cancelled and which is out of council's hands at the moment. I bring this matter up in Chamber because our residents have been waiting a very, very long time for this important connection on Westwood Drive. I remember, Mr. Mayor, I was elected into this council in 2008, and in 2009, council actually had put funding in the budget to construct the bridge on Westwood Drive, which is an extremely important connection from our residents and would take a tremendous amount of traffic off Caroline Springs Boulevard, especially during peak hours. As we see a motion put forward, the next couple of notices of motion, for consideration for councillors to consider, it's tonight regarding side streets that are taking the brunt of the high levels of traffic on Caroline Springs Boulevard, because currently the traffic is not coping. We need the bridge to be constructed on Westwood Drive. It is a crucial piece of connecting infrastructure for all our residents. Unfortunately, because of circumstances that are beyond Council's control, the project has been ceased and will have to wait for the approval of the State Government's Aboriginal Affairs Victoria to construct this bridge. It is very unfortunate. I know my residents in the Eastern Corridor will suffer because of this delay. It's putting a great strain on Caroline Springs Boulevard. Council also invited the members of the Junior Council earlier this month to a council dinner and briefing at the start of this month, and this was to brief councillors on the final outcome of this great program that council supported this year, the past year. It was such a great initiative, Mr. Mayor. That's not because it was one of my initiatives, but it was a great way to engage our young people to be more aware of what's happening within their communities and for them as future leaders to become more involved, to come up with potential solutions and instill leadership qualities into more of our young people and our young residents. The feedback we received was fantastic. We had a fantastic time with the young residents, so we're very grateful that they had dinner with us and were able to speak about what they learnt and about how terrific the program was. Some of them sharing how much they had learnt about themselves and about how to work positively with others. We had a fantastic time. They were telling us about how their lives have been affected in a positive way and how they want to take up leadership roles such as being lawyers or politicians, or I think somebody even mentioned Prime Minister maybe, a couple of councillors. So it's great to see that we could instill that seed in them as councillors and as this council very heavily supports our young residents. And my husband and I had the honour of attending Caroline Springs Senior Christmas Celebration, and what a wonderful way to end a great year for the seniors who live out in the Eastern Corridor. As Councillor Ramsey said, it's festivities are in the air and it's great to see that our residents are banding together and just celebrating their achievements that they had during the year. We sang Christmas carols, we had great food and company, and Mr. Mayor, may I just say that our seniors in the Eastern Corridor sure know how to party and enjoy the festivities of Christmas. I also attended the annual Exford Residents Christmas Party together with yourself, Mr. Mayor. This is always a highlight on my calendar. The friendship and camaraderie from this particular residence group is always so evident, and it was no different this year. The Exford Residence Group has a fantastic culture of working positively with their ward councillors and also with all of our councillors and our senior staff. I commend their professionalism and their ability to positively advocate for the needs of their community. The Christmas event was fantastic. It was a great get-together. The children enjoyed it. The adults had a great time with the raffle, and the food and atmosphere were fantastic. Well done to those from the Exford Residents Social Club who organised the event. It's community resident groups like this that actually see and bring community together. And finally, Mr. Mayor, as it is the final meeting, council meeting for this year, may I wish yourself, your family, fellow councillors, senior staff, and all our residents in the gallery a very Merry Christmas and a safe and happy New Year, and we'll look forward to seeing you in next year. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Miller. I'm sure you said that for all of us. It's been a very interesting, exciting month. Lots of good stuff. I'll just go through a couple of things. It's been really interesting with the graduations. It was at Coburn graduation, Kanjang Secondary School, what's now. Along with a few other councillors attended the Blind for Disability Christmas Party, the Mountain Fire Brigade, Xinjing Sang School in Caroline Springs, which was great. the Mountain Club. The list goes on and on. It's just been a really good, interesting month. It's great being the mayor. You get to attend lots of different things. You get lots of invites. So I've had a great time. Figures Rest Carols was a fantastic night. They did a great job down there. The place was packed all the school. At the primary school there, it was a really great night. And this weekend at the Hanabots Park, council tried something different, and it was a great success. Everybody that was there were coming up to myself, Councillor Ramsey and Councillor Pugliari, and telling us what a great night they were having. So, something we can build on for the future. But that's enough. I think you've been able to listen to enough for one night. I'd just like to concur with my councillors and wish you all a Merry Christmas. Item 14.1, motion 371, Councillor Millie.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to move a motion and that council, number one, council officers engage with residents who live on or near the Esplanade in Caroline Springs regarding the issues of concern, particularly around increased volume of traffic, speeding and hoon driving, poor visibility by pedestrians when crossing the road, particularly as this road has several bends, better signage and the potential for speed treatments for the road. And number two, council officers prepare a report to the next meeting of council detailing how the road issues mentioned can be improved in safety for both road users and the community that live in around the area.
Thank you, Councillor Mellick. So have a council to second the motion.
I'd like to second that, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare it carried. Item number 15, Councillor's question without notice. Item 16, motions. Oh, Councillor Ramsey.
Waiting patiently. I'd like to get feedback on two roads. First being the update.
Is this motion or question?
This is
16?
Yes, 15.
15, thank you.
Sorry, you didn't throw me. Okay. I'd like to get an update on Ferris Road, and I know this the second one is announced, but Coburn's and Barry's Road with the QIC development, I'd like to get some feedback on those two.
Through Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to answer those questions. In relation to the traffic lights at Ferris Road, I think I indicated at the last council meeting that Vic Roads had awarded that project and construction works are underway. I noticed today that works are very well advanced. The traffic lights are standing, albeit they're not operational yet. There's curbing and asphalting works that have been done, and the traffic lights will be activated sometime in January. So that's very pleasing that the contractor has moved very quickly there on behalf of Vic Roads. In relation to the second issue, you might recall that as part of the expansion of Woodgrove, they were making improvements to the intersection of Coburn's Road and Barry's Road. That was a requirement of council on the development permit. The works are being done on Coburn's Road, which is a Vic Roads owned and managed road, so council has no role in any aspect of the project. Unfortunately, I understand Woodgrove or QIC have struck issues in terms of Telstra pit that needs to be relocated, which has delayed the project. At the last council meeting, I indicated works would be probably 4 to 6 weeks away, and I know today they're still not complete, so I suspect they're still having issues with Telstra. I can advise, though, that there is an appropriate detour in place, which is, whilst a little bit inconvenient, it does provide for suitable traffic management in the meantime, so I'm hopeful that over the next couple of weeks that will be resolved and will be fully functional.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, if I may, can I ask one more question? I've started getting, with the heat coming on, I've started getting a lot of issues with the high grass and the fire seasons and stuff along that line. Can we just get some details on what's happening with some of the properties and the impending fire enforcement or fire breaks and stuff that have to be done?
Through Mr. Mayor, that's a very open question, so I'll provide it as a general response. Council has been working very closely with the CFA to establish fire rates, particularly around the outer perimeter of our key settlements, so Tiggers Rest, Melbourne Township, Hillside and the like, where they interface with rural areas. So those fire breaks have either been put in place or are in the process of being put in place. That has been the main focus over the last couple of months. So I think that will provide, in fact I'm confident that will provide a secure environment for the upcoming fire season. But I'm happy if there are specific questions, but it's an item or a due course, I'm happy to
Can I just have with the rain that we've just had and with 41 degrees coming on Thursday and stuff along that line, when should most of the residents have their grass under control?
Through Mr. Mayor, many residents will have received a specific notice to cut their grass, so I can't answer that specifically because each of them will have an individual date on them. However, over the forthcoming weeks, residents should endeavour to have their grass under control. It is true that with the recent rains there will be regrowth, so there may be some slashing works that council has done, particularly on road reserves, that may need to be redone in the new year.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Thank you, Mr. Sharon. Item number 16, motions without notice. Item number 17, urgent business. Item number 18, confidential business.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion that pursuant to section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated for item number 18.1, 18.2, 18.3 and 18.4.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you've enjoyed your evening. Please feel free to go and have some refreshments outside, and I'm sure some of the councillors will join you afterwards, if you're still there. Thank you.